2 Kings chapter 2, and we were to choose a text from this passage, it would be the verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that is Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. As Elijah made his way to the other side of Jordan, to where he would be taken up by a whirlwind into heaven, he gave Elisha ample opportunity to remain at any of the locations that they too had passed through. But Elisha made it very clear that there was only one thing on his mind. There was only one matter upon his heart. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit or Elijah's power. Elisha was determined to go all the way with his master, Elijah. Verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Same again in verse 4. So they came to Jericho. Same again in verse 6. And they too went on. So we see that as far as Elisha was concerned, there was no retirement, there was no resting, there was no returning until he laid hold upon the mantle of Elijah and until he had the power of God in his life. He had that mantle for a brief time in 1 Kings 19 and verse 19 when Elisha was ploughing with his yoke of oxen. Elisha knew exactly what that mantle meant. He didn't have to ask any questions because he immediately went home with his yoke of oxen, slew them, used the wooden yoke that had linked them together to burn a fire, sacrificed the oxen and had a feast. And then we're told he went up and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In other words, Elisha had finished with his plowing. He had no oxen. He had sacrificed them. He had no yoke. He had burned them. He was now going forward to follow his master and minister unto him. Like the disciples, when the Lord called them, they left their nets, so they left their boats and followed him. And there at that point, Elisha had surrendered his all to his master and to his master's God. And as Elisha resolved to go on, he was well rewarded. As we read in verse 13, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. That which he desired most of all was the mantle of Elijah, and he was determined to go on and go on and go through with God until he laid hold on that mantle. And verse 13 tells us he was rewarded. We will always be rewarded in the Lord's work if we are prepared to go on and go through with God. We preach this every week to our own congregations, but now it's our turn. Are we prepared this week to go on and go through with God until we lay hold upon the mantle of God's power? Because that's what we need. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to serve God. Elisha knew that that mantle was the symbol of power, the power of God which had filled the life of Elijah. Now he was to take over from Elijah, he was to be his successor. He faced a daunting task. He needed the power of God that Elijah had. Elisha needed it too. And we're all involved in the Lord's work. And whatever else we have, one thing we all need is the power of God. The Holy Ghost power sent down from above. We all know what our difficulties are in the churches. As we're coming today to the church, conversations focused on the young people of our churches. And they're going here, and they're going there, and they're going yonder. And some may say, we need to change. We need to do something to keep hold of our young people. No, we don't. I'll tell you what we need. We need the power of God. If we have the power of God, our young people are not going astray. If we know the power of God in our pulpit and in our churches, we'll see a change. It'll be a change that God will work. And whatever work and service the Lord has given to us, we need that power to do it. We need to receive that mantle of power that we read about in Micah. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. But truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that we'd be able to say that. How many of us can? How many of us can say, truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. We need the power of God to rebuke sin in the lives of others. And didn't the Lord Jesus tell his disciples, but ye shall receive power, 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 after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, the difficult place, home. And in Judea, the desolate place. How often have we found ourselves in the desolate place? Nothing's happening. People are leaving our churches, and we seem to be in a wilderness. It's the desolate place. And in Samaria, that's the dangerous place, for the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And then on to the uttermost parts of the earth, that's the distant place. So whether it is the difficult place, the desolate place, or the dangerous place, or the distant place, doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter where we serve at home, or abroad, or in some foreign land, we still need the power of God. We need to be clothed with the mantle that Elijah wore. We need the mantle of power. And as we look at Elisha, seeking the mantle of power, I want to notice first of all that he had to travel the road of perseverance. In order that he might receive the mantle of power, Elisha must travel the road of perseverance with Elijah, his master. If he wanted to know the power of God in his life and in his ministry in Israel, then he must persevere. There's no shortcuts. He must persevere. No going back. No turning to the right or to the left. He must prepare to go through with God, as we were singing. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to you the God's very best. When Elijah took his mantle and divided the waters of Jordan, and Elisha and Elijah went over, we have the demand that was put to Elisha. Verse 9, Elijah said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Ask. Elisha, ask me what I will do for you. There was only one answer. There was only one thing in the mind of Elisha, that he would be given a double portion of his power. If he was to be Elijah's successor, then a daunting task lay ahead of him. He was aware of what was needed. Most of all, God's power. That's what he needed. That's what we need. God's spirit and power rested upon Elijah, and as far as Elisha was concerned, it must rest on him. And Elijah said, ask of me what I shall do for thee. Ask. There it is. How often have we read in the Gospels the number of times that the Lord Jesus used that word ask. Dr. Allison mentioned, referred to it last night. We have the freedom to go to the throne of grace. Why don't we go? We can ask. Why don't we ask? Over and over again the Lord said ask. Ask and it shall be given you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And if that wasn't enough, your Father which is in heaven, give good tidings, give good things to them that ask him. Then on another occasion he said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And again he said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye should ask anything in my name, I shall do it. Ask. He's saying, ask. He's saying that to us this week. My servants, ask, and I'll give you the power of the Holy Ghost. It is so simple. And yet, why don't we ask for the power of God? The Lord said in Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? The Lord's encouraging us to ask. And here we're in the right place to ask. We have a whole week in which we can come before God and ask. And ask, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. We can ask, and he has promised to give it to us. The Lord, we all know, brethren, the Lord keeps his word. As well as the demand, you have the desire of Elisha. After being asked by Elijah what he wanted, Elisha said, made his request and desire known. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. His prayer was for more power. He wanted that mantle of power. That was the desire of his heart. He didn't ask for more possessions, he asked for more power. He didn't ask to be more popular, he asked for more power. He didn't ask for more privileges, he asked for more power. He didn't ask for more people, he asked for more power. He could have asked for many things. He only asked for one. Lord, or rather Elijah, give me thy power. Because if Elijah had more power in the Holy Ghost, then he would have more power. He would have more passion. He would have more people. He would have more prayer. He would have more patience. You see, brethren, that's the answer. I often think in my own congregation, we have visited our town 5 or 6 times. We had a radio ministry for 3.5 years. We've gone round the doors of late. Hardly anybody came in. How can we get them in? You know, you can't go and twist their arm and bring them in. The only way they'll come in is if the Spirit of God moves. And we need the Spirit of God to move in our towns. That'll bring the people in. I believe it with all my heart. When you think, when you come, well, in Canada, the middle of winter, and it's minus 30 degrees, and you go to church for the evening service, and there's a foot of snow on the ground, and you say, who's going to be there tonight? You'll have your own congregation, but you're not going to get any visitors in. They'll be sitting with their nice heat on, TV on. They're not going to come in. But the Spirit of God moves. Praise God, they'll come in. There'll be nothing stop them. That's what we need. That was Elisha's desire. May it be our desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Something which our dear Savior had as he began his earthly ministry. In Luke 4, he came up after being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came full of the Spirit of God. The beginning of his ministry. Later, when he entered the synagogue in Nazareth, the minister handed him the book and he opened it, Isaiah 61. And the Lord said, today is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we know Christ is our great example. And if the Son of God had the Spirit of God upon him, how much more do we need the Spirit of God resting on us? I am in Christ, Christ is in me. My body, his temple, since captive set free. My heart, his altar, thine love, that divine love, the flame. Cleansing for service in his matchless name. My life and his life commingled shall be with God's Holy Spirit enthroned in me. That's what we want. That's what we need. And we can go on and do the best we can and work hard. But it's like using a hatchet that's blunt. You not get much accomplished. But if we have the power of God, we'll see great things done. Then you have the directive to Elisha. Elijah informed Elisha what he must do. If his desire was to be met, we read in verse 10, and he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." In other words, Elijah told him he was to keep his eyes upon him. Elisha was to keep his eyes on his master. He was not to take his eyes off his master if he wanted the double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Thus the disciples of the master had their eyes upon the Lord ever from they began to follow him. Even as we read in 1 John 1 verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen." So they had their eyes on Christ at the beginning, up into the Mount of Transfiguration, halfway through the Lord's ministry. And we know the words, we've quoted them often. When Peter, James, and John had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only, that their eyes on Christ again. And after the resurrection in the upper room, the disciples were sitting there, and suddenly the Lord appeared in their midst. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They had their eyes on Christ. And for us to know the power of God in our lives, then our eyes must always be upon Jesus Christ. It is only through him that we will be able to lay hold upon that mantle of power. If we take our eyes off Christ, we'll never lay hold on the mantle of power. Never. We need to keep our eyes on him. It's not looking at men and saying, "I wish I had that man's ability." It's not looking at multitudes and saying, "I wish I had a congregation like that." It's not looking at other ministers and saying, "I wish I had a ministry like his." It's not looking at messages and saying, "Boy, I wish I could preach like that." That's not what it is. It's looking at Christ. It's looking at him always. Hebrews 12 verse 2, we know the words well, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is to him we look, crucified, risen, exalted, coming Lord. We look to him. And so, believer, let us keep looking. Throughout this week, let us keep looking to our master. Even as the disciples did right until that moment when the dear Savior was taken up from them. We know how they had their eyes on him right to the very end. In Acts 1 verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up," right to the very end, they had their eyes on him. "Behold, two men stood in by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." All the way, they had their eyes on Christ. All the way, Elisha had his eyes on his master. And what was the result? He received the mantle of power. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. When you look at Christ, sure, there's nothing much else we can look at. Nothing worthwhile looking at. Quoted the words of Rutherford before. Rutherford said, "When I look at Jesus Christ, I could look my eyes away." Rutherford was a man full of the Holy Ghost. You notice the determination of Elisha. Ever since that meeting with Elijah, when he had cast his mantle upon him, 1 Kings 19 and verse 19, Elisha followed his master all the way. You can look at it there, verse 2. The end of the verse. "So they went down to Bethel." Verse 4. "So they came to Jericho." Verse 6. "So they too went on." Verse 7. "So they too stood by Jordan. We see again in verse 8, the end of the verse, so they too went over. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on. There's his determination. He didn't leave the side of his master. Seven times we are told about Elisha and Elijah going on together. Seven, the number of completion. And here was a man, Elisha, and his complete, a demonstration of his complete determination. Wherever his master would go, he would go. Wherever his master stopped, he would stop. And I like those words in verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on. They still went on, and they went on, and they went on. That's what we need to do. We need to walk the path of perseverance. In spite of the discouragements for Elisha, he still went on. What discouragements? Well, didn't the sons of the prophet say, your master's going to be taken away from you today? That would have been discouraging. You know what it's like? We get those comments from time to time. People say things to us in the ministry, and it's, you know, they believe the work's going to fold up. They don't really encourage you. Oh, things aren't good. Sure, they're not, Pastor. And if they don't tell you, the devil will tell you. You might as well wrap it up. There's no point going on. Brethren, we need to go on in spite of the discouragements if we want to lay hold upon the mantle of power. There's no victory in going back. In spite of the proposed dismissal, they still went on. Whenever Elijah told Elisha, tarry here, 3 times he told them, you stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Bethel. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And you notice, the word of the Lord to Elijah was the word of the Lord to Elisha. Whatever the will of the Lord was to Elijah, that was the will of the Lord to Elisha. And whatever God's will is to our master, it must be our will too. Elisha was surrendered to Elijah, his master, and surrendered to the Lord's will. And if we want to know the power of God in our lives, we also must ever be surrendered to the Lord's will and to the will of our Master, our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. In spite of the distance between Gilgal and Jordan, they still went on. And if we're desirous of laying hold on the mantle of power, then with determination, we will still be going on throughout this week. Still going on until we come to the place where the mantle of power is ours. Is ours. The apostles entered the upper room, we are told. These all continued. See, the path of perseverance. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. These all continued, and when they all continued, they were then filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to continue. We need to be in the road of perseverance. And pray until God gives us the power that He has promised to give us. We have only to ask. Then you have the devotion of Elisha. The road of perseverance which Elisha walked with Elijah reveals to us his devotion. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. There's his devotion. His devotion to his master. I will never leave thee. Wording very similar to Ruth's devotion to Naomi. Similar to the words of Ittai the Gittite, who said, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. There's devotion. Only those who are devoted and dedicated to their master can ever hope to claim the mantle of power. When you think that every location they stopped at, it was as if Elisha renewed his dedication to his master. He renewed it every time. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. We exhort our people to dedicate their lives afresh to the Lord. But what about ourselves? Here we are in this week of prayer. It would be a good time to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and to the work He has called us to. And to say to the Lord, this day and this week, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. In devotion we say, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. So in order that Elijah should claim the mantle of power, he had to walk the road of perseverance. Then the next thing we see, the removal of the prophet. The Lord had made it known to the prophet that he would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. It was made known to him in the first verse. Well, that time had come. The time of Elijah's departure had now come. We notice in verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, see, there was communion and fellowship between them. Can two walk together except they be agreed? These men were agreed. The servant was in agreement with his master. May we ever be in agreement with our master. And they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. We notice here, first of all, the fire. The prophet was to be taken up by a whirlwind, but Elisha saw a chariot of fire and horses of fire. It was then that Elisha laid hold upon the mantle. Notice the suddenness of this event. Elisha knew it was going to take place. Elijah knew it was going to take place. But in the end, it came suddenly. Look again at the verse 11, and it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. The words there appeared are in italics. We know what that means. So now we can read it. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, a chariot of fire. Seems to emphasize more the suddenness of the event. Suddenly. And when the fire appeared, the horses of fire and the chariots of fire, that was when Elisha was able to lay hold upon the mantle of power that had fallen from Elijah. And it happened suddenly. Just like those who were gathered in the upper room waiting for the day of Pentecost. And when it came, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Suddenly. And dear brethren, we seek to know the infilling of the Spirit of God. We want to know the power of God in our lives. We want to know a double portion. Then that can happen suddenly this week. Suddenly. Oh, may the Lord come suddenly to His temple. May He come suddenly to this temple. May it happen. The Lord says, you've only to ask. Oh, that God will come suddenly. We've never experienced it before. We hardly know what it's like. But we can know this week. We can know this week. We can know the power that we need. Do you ever lament your lack of power in preaching? It was not only the suddenness, there was the sound. We're told that Elijah went up by a whirlwind. No doubt that whirlwind made a sound like what was heard in the day of Pentecost. For it is written, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We know the wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. John 3, verse 8. So when the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was that sound of the wind. When Elisha received a double portion of the Spirit, there was surely the sound of the whirlwind. And what do we need to pray for? We need to pray that the wind of God will come sweeping through this week of prayer. We need the wind of heaven. That's what we need. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given. Send us now a Pentecost. Breathe upon us, breathe upon us. With thy love our hearts inspire. Breathe upon us, breathe upon us. Lord, baptize us now with fire. And as well as the suddenness and the sound, there was the sight. Elisha beheld an amazing sight that day. Behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire. So the fire of heaven came down. And Elisha received a double portion of power. Why don't we need the power? And we need the fire. We need the fire to fall. There on the top of Mount Carmel, as Elijah prayed, the fire fell. As the apostles and others were met for prayer in the upper room in Acts 2, the fire fell. And we need the fire of God to fall upon us. We came across a new hymn a few months ago. And the folk in Port Hope loved the hymn. We had three Pentecostal folk in one night. They come fairly regularly in the evening. And we sang this hymn. One said to the other, "That's a Pentecostal hymn. Thought we shouldn't be singing about the fire." And you know, when I thought about it, that's probably what's wrong in many circles today. They don't like to talk about the fire, and they don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit coming in power, and they don't like to talk about the fullness of the Spirit, because people might think they're charismatic or they're Pentecostals. They don't care what the Pentecostals think or say. We still need the fire of God. They were gathered in an upper chamber, as commanded by the risen Lord. And the promise of the Father, there they sought with one accord. When the Holy Ghost from heaven descended, like a rushing wind and tongues of fire, so, dear Lord, we seek thy blessing. Come with glory and our hearts inspire. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. On thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. I tell you, that's what we need. More and more I'm convinced of it. You battle away and you work away and you toil away, and you look back over the years and you say, what have I accomplished? What have we done? The church is about the same size as it was 10, 15 years ago. And you preach the word, and you seek to preach Christ, and you make much of his blood, and yet it all stays the same. We need the fire. We need the power. We need the mantle of Elijah. That's what we need. Then you have the focus. When Elijah saw the double portion of Elijah's power, he was told what he must do. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Need to keep your eyes on me, Elisha. Since Elisha sought the double portion so much, he did not take his eyes off his master. And we read in verse 12, and Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I was once asked, why did Elisha ask for a double portion? What does that mean? You're probably familiar with it, brethren. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy 21, and there we read in verse 17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. And what was the right of the firstborn? It was a double portion. Is it interesting then that Elisha, when he saw Elijah go up, he cried, my father, and he asked for a double portion. In other words, Elijah was Elisha's spiritual father, and he was his firstborn. He was the successor to Elijah. And so Elisha felt he had the right of the double portion. And that's why he asked for a double portion of his spiritual father's power. Christ is our firstborn. Colossians 1 verse 15, in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And we are in Christ. And so through Christ, we have a right to a double portion. We stand in Christ, the firstborn. And being in Christ, then we have a right to the double portion. We have a right to the infilling of the Spirit of God. It's our right. It is ours. But we know how the Holy Spirit comes through the Lord Jesus. As John the Baptist said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So let us claim that power today. Lay hold upon the mantle of power. Because of Christ, we have the right to the double portion. You have the fulfillment. That which Elisha desired was fulfilled. It was realized. First of all, in verse 8, you'll notice, and Elijah took his mantle. Look at verse 13. He, that is Elisha, took up also the mantle of Elijah. Verse 14. He took the mantle of Elijah. In other words, the mantle was freely available for Elisha to take it. Elijah didn't hide it from him. He didn't have any difficulty laying hold on the mantle. It was there. It was ready, available. Just like the infilling of the Spirit of God, it is ready, available. We have only to lay hold upon it. All we have to do by faith is lay hold upon the mantle of Elijah. It's available. Duncan Campbell said, regarding the infilling of the Holy Ghost, he says there's nothing mysterious about it, there's nothing mystical about it. It's available to us all. That's true. Ask. There came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise. The Spirit will descend, and from your inner being a river with no end. Something want. In the last place was the receiving of the power. After Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, the sons of the prophet set themselves the task of seeking for Elijah. Now, what they said, verse 16, and they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain, into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. But they persisted and embarrassed Elisha until he let them go. And they went looking for God's man. Elisha didn't do that. Elisha went looking for the God of the man. Because there's his cry. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's the difference. The sons of the prophets were looking at the men or the man. But Elisha was looking for the God of the man. How often have we said, oh, where are the John Knoxes of today, or the John Calvins, or the Robert Murray McShames, or the Andrew Bonners, or the Rutherfords, or the Spurgeons? Oh, if only we had these men in our day, it would be so different. We ought not to be looking for the men. We ought to be looking for the God of the men. Men who were full of the Holy Ghost. Where is the Lord God of John Knox? Where is the Lord God of John Calvin? Or George Whitfield? Or Murray McShane? Where is their God? That's what we need today. When the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word with boldness. And later on, Paul and Silas, of them it was said that they had turned the world upside down. Men full of the Holy Ghost. We can be those men today. We'll not be a George Whitfield, we'll not be a Murray McShane, we'll not be a C.H. Spurgeon, but we'll be men full of the Holy Ghost. And what God accomplished through them, he can accomplish through us. He can accomplish something for me in Port Hope. He can accomplish something for you in your town, in your area, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Think of the words of John Wesley. John Wesley said, give me 300 men who fear nothing but God and sin. And he says, we'll shake the gates of hell. I say, in this church of ours, in this denomination that I love with all of my heart, give us ministers in this church that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, we'll shake the gates of hell. We'll terrorize the demons of hell. We'll put fear into the devils of hell. And we'll see multitudes saved from hell. We need the Holy Ghost with power. We need the power of God. Bottom line, we need the power of God. As well as the cry of Elisha, have the clothing of Elisha. But we're told he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. You notice what he did with his own clothing. He tore his own clothing in two pieces. Now he's able to put on Elijah's clothing. He was a new man now. He wasn't dressed the same. He had already sacrificed his oxen. He had already burned up the yoke. And now he tears his own clothing. He's finished with the old way. He's going to be dressed now with a double portion of God's power. Would you turn, please, in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. The Savior said to his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Endued. The word endued means clothed. Until you be clothed with power from on high. There was Elisha. He was clothed with power from on high. He laid hold on the mantle of power. Brethren, we need to be clothed with the power of Almighty God. And then you have the confession regarding Elisha. Having taken the mantle of Elisha, which fell from him, his successor took that same mantle, and he also had smitten the waters and parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The last miracle of Elijah was the first miracle of Elisha, the dividing of Jordan. And of course, the sons of the prophets at Jericho, they saw all this. You know what they said? The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They were saying that man now has the power. And where was Elisha going? He was returning the way he had come. Where will we go at the end of the week? We'll return the way that we came. Elisha returned a different man, a man with the mantle of Elijah's power. May we return this week different men, so that we go into the pulpit on the Sabbath day, people will be able to say, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on our minister." The sons of the prophets saw the difference. May our congregation see the difference. D.L. Moody once said, "I have lived long enough to know that if I cannot have the power of the Spirit of God in me to help me, work for me, I would rather die than live just for the sake of living. Thy Christ, burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Look down today, Lord, and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire. Send the fire." May every brother here this week go home clothed in the mantle of power.